cross, for your love that was displayed there, that your Son, the Lord Jesus, freely and joyfully gave of Himself that we could have our sins washed away, that we could have eternal life, that we could have a place with you in heaven for eternity. May we spend more time focusing on the cross and what that means as that display of your love, as the display that in tragedy you work blessings innumerable. Pray now you would speak to us in your word. Your Spirit would take it and minister the life of Jesus. We confess our total dependence upon you, Lord, to minister your word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All of us would like to see God do miracles in our life. All of us have read the Gospels, and for instance, when Jesus fed the 5,000, we thought, man, I'd love to be there when that happened. That'd be great to see God do that. Or when you heal the blind, man, wouldn't it be wonderful? Or you'd think, man, I'd love to have been that fellow that experienced that healing. How great would it have been to see Jesus do a miracle in my life? I want to share with you today how you can see God do a miracle in your life. How you can see the miraculous power of God that's displayed in the New Testament come alive in your life in 2009. And it is through miraculous giving. Giving that moves God out of heaven into your situation. Our passage is over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me ask you to take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This miraculous giving is also known as faith promise giving. Faith promise giving. And what's so miraculous about it is you give according to God's leading, according to God's ability, not according to your ability. You give according to God's power, not according to your power. You're simply a channel that God uses to fund hundreds and thousands of dollars into His kingdom work. So it's miraculous giving. It's giving more than you could possibly give if it depended on you alone. Instead of giving according to your bank account, that's limited. That's not miraculous. It's giving according to God's bank account, which is unlimited. You're simply that vessel that God uses to funnel His bank account through you into His kingdom work. That's the miraculous part of it. It's God moving through you. You believe by faith that God is able to move through you and provide in ways you can't imagine. And then you promise to give as God provides. That's faith promise. The churches in Macedonia understood this concept of faith promise. They put it into practice. And so Paul writes to the churches in Corinth to talk to them about it. But let's take our scripture passage first. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me ask you to stand as I read beginning in verse 1 through verse 5. Paul writes now to the church at Corinth, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in their wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." You may be seated. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and most of all, the obeying of His Word. Now, first, I want to talk to you about the context of their giving. The church in Jerusalem was going through financial difficulties. There was an economic depression in Jerusalem at this time. And so Paul is writing to the churches, the Gentile churches, encouraging them to take up an offering to help the saints in Jerusalem that are going through great difficulty. And the churches of Macedonia, which would have been the churches of Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, had really given tremendously to this effort. They had understood the key to faith promise giving, to giving according to revelation, not according to reason. And Paul wants to encourage the church at Corinth to give, and so he uses these churches in Macedonia as an example. It would be like us wanting to take up an offering, or say, some churches down in Venezuela who are having difficulties, and say our area missionary said, hey, we need to help out these churches. And so First Baptist of Mableton, boy, they just gave abundantly. So I want to encourage you guys. So I come up and say, guys, let me tell you what First Baptist Mableton did with this offering. And let me tell you what Floyd Road did. And let me tell you what Locust Grove did. And I'm telling you that for the purpose of encouraging you to give also likewise in your giving. And so this is what Paul's doing. He takes the churches in Macedonia as examples of giving that pleases God. And so he's talking to the church at Corinth and he says, let me tell you about the way these churches gave. Because I want to encourage you to give the same way. So that is the context of their giving. Now, the circumstances of miraculous giving. Now, what circumstances would you expect to find in the lives of people who are giving miraculously? Would you expect them to be in great financial shape? You know, they don't have any kids in college. The house is paid for. They don't have any medical bills. I mean, they got a lot of extra money, so I expect them to give a lot. Or would you expect them to be just going through great adversity and hardship and difficulties and just being poor? What would you expect? Well, let's see what these Christians in Macedonia were like. As we see in verse 2, he says that in a great ordeal of affliction, the abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. First, the great ordeal of affliction. Not just affliction, but a great ordeal of affliction. These Christians were going through some tough times. They were having some hardships. They were having some true trials and adversity in their lives. Everything wasn't great. Everything wasn't rosy. And so they said, hey, we can afford to give. Everything's going so good. No, they were having some hard times, some great difficulty. Have you ever thought, well, I just can't give right now because I'm going through so much hard times? You know, things are so unsettled in my life. I may lose my job. I got medical expenses that may come up. You know, I just can't afford to give. Well, these Christians were giving miraculously, even though they were going through great adversity. Notice also, he says that their deep poverty. Now, that word in the Greek is down to depth poverty, literally. Rock bottom poverty. As you might say, as we used to say back where I grew up, they were dirt poor. You see, there's a difference between being poor and poor. Poor, you don't have much to get along. I mean, you're having a hard time. But poor, buddy, you don't have anything. These folks were poor. They were rock bottom, dirt poor. But yet, this didn't stop them from giving miraculously. Many had lost their jobs. And they had no hopes of getting new jobs because they were Christians. But they were still giving abundantly. You ever thought, man, I just can't afford to give. I can't make ends meet now. Or maybe I'm laid off my job. But it didn't stop these Christians from miraculous giving. Now let's look at the character of miraculous giving. You don't have to have great circumstances to give miraculously, do you? Theirs were certainly not. What about the character of their giving? The character of miraculous giving. Well, look in verse 1. We have the first indication. Now, brethren, Paul says, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. It's graceful giving. Now, grace can be defined as God's enabling power. God enables you. He gives you the power to do something. That's grace. All right? It's not only God's unmerited favor, as we usually talk about grace, but grace is also used in Scripture to speak of God's enabling power. God gives us the power and He enables us to do something. Miraculous giving depends on God, not you. Miraculous giving is God's enabling power to enable you to be the model giver. As these Christians look to God, trusting Him, seeing Him as their ultimate supplier, they were able by faith to give joyfully and abundantly, even in their affliction and in their poverty. The key to faith promise giving is looking to God for the grace, for the enabling power. You cannot give this way looking to yourself. You just can't do it. You don't have it in you. If you're going to move into the miraculous, you've got to get out of self and get into God. God moves when we look to Him and to Him alone to supply all that we need. So first, it's graceful giving. It depends on God. But secondly, look, abundantly joyful, verse 2. In the great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy, they overflowed with joy in their giving. How'd you feel this morning when you gave? Or last time you gave to your church? Was it described as overflowingly joyful? I got to give them a tithe today. It's like you got to pay your electric bill. These Christians were abundantly joyful. Now, how can someone who is dirt poor, going through great adversity, get excited and joyful about giving away money? The only way is when they realize, hey, it's God who's providing. I'm not giving of mine. I'm giving what He has provided. He has enabled me to give. We can get excited because we know that God is the one who is providing. They understood that faith promise giving releases God's miraculous hand. And they wanted to be a part of the miracle. Notice also the character of their giving was not only graceful and abundantly joyful, but it was overflowingly liberal. As he says in verse 2, their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Now, all you know, liberal, in my opinion, is a bad word. There's not a liberal corpuscle in my body. But it's good to be liberal in giving. This is one time in one place that it is good to be liberal. They were overflowingly liberal in their giving. Though they were dirt poor, they still gave with a great overflowing liberality. What do you do in your giving when things get financially tight? Do you hold back in your giving? Or do you give more? If you understood miraculous giving, you'd give more when things got financially tight. Not less. You give more to get God involved in a miracle in your life. So even in their great poverty, they gave abundantly, trusting God with overflowing liberality. Why? Because they understood God's faithfulness and power. They knew they were not giving according to their resources, but according to God's. Now look at the condition of their giving. Again, in verse 3. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. Now, the faith promise giving, miraculous giving, is a free will giving. They were not giving under compulsion. They were not being pressured to give. They were giving because they wanted to give. Their motivation was love for God and faith in God that He would move into their situation. And next week, you're going to be given an opportunity as a part of Westside to be involved in miraculous faith promise giving. I have to. You can say, no, preacher, I'm going to pass. I don't want to see God work in my life in a miraculous way. I don't want to do it. I just want to pass. I just want to keep giving the way I'm giving. That's fine. That's okay. This is a free will of your own accord. Now, you're not a member of Westside. You can take this truth and apply it to your church and its kingdom giving. So it applies to all of us here. But it's a free will thing. You don't have to do it. You're not going to be forced to make a faith promise commitment. God loves a cheerful giver. So, first they gave freely. But now look in verse 4. Begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Look at that, guys. These folks were urging, begging Paul to let them participate in this giving. Now, these people were dirt poor, going through extreme poverty, going through extreme adversity, and yet they were begging for a chance to give. I've been in ministry over 34 years, and I have never had anybody come up to me and beg me to let them give. Now, what kind of folks who in such adverse circumstances, having such a difficult time, would beg, urge, please let me be a part of this. Let me give. Only people that understood faith promise giving. It only makes sense when you realize these people had to understand that it was God who was going to give through them. It was God who was going to empower and enable them to give. And therefore, they didn't want to miss out on seeing God do a miracle in their lives. And so they begged, please, please, let us participate. Let us give. So how much joy you experience in giving says a lot about your faith in God and what you really believe about God's power. And let's move now to the channel of their giving in verse 3. For I testify that according to their ability, and that word ability can be translated power, and beyond their power, they gave of their own accord. Now there are two ways of giving. According to your ability, according to your power. That's the way most of us give. That means you look at your checkbook, you look at how much your expenses are, you look at how much you got coming in, and then you decide, okay, we can give this much. Or if you're a real faithful Baptist, you say, we're going to give a tenth, we're going to tithe, and we're going to go ahead and work that in our budget, and we're going to give that, and we'll spend accordingly so we can do that. But that's giving according to your ability. That's giving according to your income. That's giving according to your checkbook. And there were some Christians who gave according to their ability. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with giving according to your ability. You should give according to your ability. But I'm not convinced that's God's best. If you want God's best, then give beyond your ability. Give beyond your power and according to God's power. Some gave according to their ability and beyond their ability. And when you get beyond your ability, you're getting into God's ability. They gave according to God's power. And in faith promise giving, you go beyond your resources and you look to God as your source. You simply are that channel which God uses to direct money into His kingdom work in the world missions. And there's only one limit. It's not God's pocketbook, is it? There's only one thing that will limit the amount you give. Your faith. Your faith. That's all. Because God's resources are unlimited. Your faith will unlock those resources into God's kingdom work. I have seen God provide in more ways than you can imagine. When you start looking to God to provide from His unlimited resources, it's amazing where the income, the money, will come from. It might come from unexpected raise at work. I've had seen people who've made a faith promise in December, and in January, they got a raise that equaled the amount of the faith promise. God provided. I saw another person, God provided by someone paid a speeding ticket for them. Now, they would have had to pay the $100 for the speeding ticket. Somebody went and paid it on their behalf. That was $100 right there that they should give the faith promise. God provided that $100 because they didn't have to pay the speeding ticket. See, ways you can't imagine. Somebody, I've seen God provide through a return on an escrow account for a house. They sent them money back. Too much paid this year. Here's an escrow check. Didn't expect it. God provided. Ways you can't imagine. Unexpected ways. Some people God will provide through reordering of their priorities. Rather than going to the beach, they give that money to God's kingdom work. I think that's a miracle, don't you? Some people, better management of their income enables them to have extra money to give. Through Crown Ministries or through Financial Peace University, people get a better handle on their money management, and that frees up money that they can give to God's kingdom work. Other people give in creative ways. They may have a garage sale. They may, one man grew Christmas trees, and he would take all the proceeds from his Christmas trees and give it to missions. Maybe a teenager said, I'm going to trust God to give money through babysitting this year. Open up jobs to babysit. So there are unfathomable ways that God can provide. But that's up to Him. Your part is to trust Him. All right, how do you make a faith promise commitment? Let me give you, as we're getting close to finishing, 4 steps to make a faith promise commitment. Now, you have a card, and you're going to be given an opportunity to turn this card in next week at the missions conference. And also, we have given you just a kind of synopsis of faith promise given on the back of your card to help you to remember. First, you want to pray and ask God, God, how much do you want to give through me this year to world missions? Pray and ask God. If you're married, you and your spouse get together and pray about it. It's amazing how many times people have come to me and said, you know, we prayed separately, but God gave us the same amount. That's a pretty good indication. That's the amount God wants you to trust Him for. All right, secondly, commit by filling out the card. Now, this is not a pledge. You don't put your name on it anywhere between you and God. But fill out the card, commit, and then you will fill out the bottom part. You're going to tear that off, and that's what you're going to turn in. So we'll have a record of how much to expect is going to come in. And then thirdly, look to God, keeping a record as He provides. This is a real faith builder. God provides in January, you just write down how He provided and how much. He provides more in March, you put down. And you get through the end of the year, this is a faith builder to see how God worked in ways you could have never imagined when the year started. And then fourth, be faithful, give as God enables. You see, the old devil doesn't want you to do this. So what's going to happen is your car's going to break down, and God's going to provide some money, and you're going to be tempted to say, well, I think I'll take this money and fix my brakes. God's provided it. Give it. And I found the quicker you give it, the better. It's funny. When money gets in my check account, I start taking ownership of it. The quicker you get it out and give it to the Lord, the easier it will be. But as He gives, as He provides, you be faithful and you give. And lastly, the consecration of miraculous giving. Verse 5. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave of themselves to the Lord. these Christians in Macedonia first gave themselves to the Lord. You see, the problem with many of us when it comes to miraculous giving is we've never given ourselves to the Lord first. We have never given our hearts to the Lord, much less our pocketbook. And God wants your heart more than your money. He doesn't need our money. He wants our heart. He wants our lives committed to Him. He wants our giving to be a reflection of our lives given to Him first. Once we totally surrender our heart, our treasures are going to follow. And when Jesus has your heart, He has your pocketbook, doesn't He? Three keys unlocked to these Macedonian Christians the power of miraculous giving. God's grace, faith that God was their source, and their total giving of themselves first to the Lord. Those same three keys will unlock miraculous giving in your life. Your faith in God that He's your source. Your commitment and surrender to Him as your all in all, as everything that you are and everything that you need, and you walking in obedience to His truth. He is all we need. He will provide. You don't have to do it. You can walk away and say, you know, that's not for me. That's okay. It's between you and God. But if you ever want to see a miracle in your life, here's your opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You are willing to move in our lives in miraculous ways if we'll but step out in faith and obedience. Deal with each of us this week according to Your will for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you an opportunity today to respond as the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. If you've never come to a place in your life that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity today to surrender to Jesus. That He can be all in all in your life. If you realize that you cannot earn salvation, you cannot earn His acceptance, but you don't deserve it. But because of His great love, He came and died for you. You're willing to turn away from anything in your life that may not be pleasing to Him. Surrender your will as Lord. Take Him as Savior. Would you step forward? I'd love to talk with you. If you just want to come and pray today, if you want to pray by yourself, if you'll come to my left, your right, no one will disturb you. If you want someone to pray with you, you'll come over to my right, your left, then someone will pray with you. Stand as we sing together.